Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we are in this very happy time of Easter, where in the liturgy we sing and say, Alleluia, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And we know that your resurrection followed the cross. You had to die in order that we might live. And your suffering and death brought about our redemption. As Pope John Paul II wrote in his apostolic letter, Salvifici Doloris, you entered the world of suffering. You knew all the forms of suffering. Those two principal forms that we can call physical suffering and moral suffering. Physical suffering experienced in the body. You knew hunger, thirst, cold, heat, and then all of that pain of your passion and death, the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the slaps in the face, the carrying of the cross and falling, and then the agony of crucifixion, pain that we will never know to anywhere near that degree. You understand the world of physical suffering. And then perhaps even harder to bear, moral suffering, experienced rather in the soul, in the heart. And in that agony in the garden, where your soul was sorrowful even unto death, for so many reasons that we can't go into now, you were suffering extraordinarily unto death. You sweat blood. And knowing there the betrayal of Judas, the denials of Peter that would follow in a few hours, the fact that so many souls down the ages would not be saved through their own free choice, in spite of your overwhelming will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And even in heaven, you offer everyone sufficient grace to be saved, and many, by their own free choice, are not saved. And that suffering that you underwent thinking that must have been very great. And then that moral suffering when you saw your mother suffering because she was seeing you suffer. And your heart and hers were one. When she saw you in so much physical pain, she was suffering the same in her heart. And you seeing her, knowing what was in her heart, were suffering that moral pain too. Lord, you entered the world of suffering. You understand it. But you redeemed suffering itself. You redeemed us through your suffering. But you redeemed suffering itself, giving it a new meaning. That meaning of redemption, that meaning that we will see now in our prayer, that has so many aspects. Cardinal Ratzinger, in his book, God and the World, says, today what people have in view is eliminating suffering from the world. For the individual, that means avoiding pain and suffering in whatever way. Yet we must also see that it is in this very way that the world becomes very hard and very cold, trying to eliminate suffering. Pain is part of being human. Anyone who really wanted to get rid of suffering would have to get rid of love before anything else, because there can be no love without suffering, because it always demands an element of self-sacrifice, because given temperamental differences and the drama of situations, it will always bring with it renunciation and pain. And Lord, we don't want to eliminate love from the world. And with love comes pain in so many different ways. But you entered into this world and redeemed suffering itself. In Salvifici Doloris, Pope John Paul II writes, if one becomes a sharer in the sufferings of Christ, this happens because Christ has opened his suffering to man, because he himself, in his redemptive suffering, has become, in a certain sense, a sharer in all human sufferings. Man discovering through faith the redemptive suffering of Christ also discovers in it his own sufferings. He rediscovers them through faith, enriched with a new content and new meaning, our own sufferings, enriched with new content and new meaning. Those who share in the sufferings of Christ preserve in their own sufferings a very special particle of the infinite treasure of the world's redemption, and can share this treasure with others. The treasure of suffering. What a treasure, what a wasted treasure for so many people, because they don't understand its richness of meaning. And what is necessary to see this meaning is faith that, yes, even suffering can have so many blessings, and love to accept it and bear it well. The cure of ours, St. John Vianney, makes this very clear in his catechesis on suffering. He says there, whether we will or not, we must suffer. There are some who suffer like the good thief, and others like the bad thief. They both suffered equally, but one knew how to make his sufferings meritorious. He accepted them in the spirit of reparation, and turning towards Jesus crucified, he received from his mouth these beautiful words, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The other, on the contrary, cried out, uttered imprecations and blasphemies, and expired in the most frightful despair. There are two ways of suffering, to suffer with love and to suffer without love. The saints suffered everything with joy, patience, and perseverance, because they loved. As for us, we suffer with anger, vexation, and weariness, because we do not love. If we loved God, we should love crosses. We should wish for them. We should take pleasure in them. pleasure in the very cross, in the very suffering. The saints knew how to do that. Lord, grant us the grace to see the great meaning and blessing that suffering can be, so that we live it well and extract from it all of that fruit that you have put in it for our benefit. The Kyrie of ours goes on. We should be happy to be able to suffer for the love of him who lovingly suffered for us. Of what do we complain? Alas, the poor infidels who have not the happiness of knowing God and his infinite loveliness have the same crosses that we have, but they have not the same consolations. You say it is hard? No, it is easy. It is consoling. It is sweet. It is happiness. Only we must love while we suffer, and suffer while we love. Lord, help us to see the value in suffering and to bear it with faith and love. Because then it is, as you yourself said, a real blessing. In the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who suffer persecution in the cause of right. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely because of me. Be glad and light-hearted, for a rich reward awaits you in heaven. Glad, light-hearted in being persecuted. Lord, in any suffering, let us receive it in that way, for a rich reward awaits us in heaven. And suffering will speed us on our way. In what ways can suffering be a true blessing? In at least six. One, suffering strengthens character. I suspect we all know people who have been through considerable adversity in life, have conquered the obstacles, and have grown to such fine, strong characters. Migrants who have come to this country, often as refugees, fleeing for their lives in great danger, leaving everything behind, including the money and the property, and the qualifications that weren't recognized in this country. And they started from nothing, trying to feed often a large family. And they have succeeded. And they are our admiration. People who have been either born with great handicaps or who have encountered them later in life through accidents or sickness, ended up without their sight or their hearing or their limbs, paralyzed in wheelchairs, and have gone on to achieve so much. What character is developed in suffering? Years ago, I found in the Australian newspaper this letter to the editor. In 1959, as a three-year-old, I became a grand mal epileptic, having between 20 and 30 seizures per day. The diagnosis my parents received was that I would become more and more brain damaged and eventually die. The epilepsy was eventually controlled with heavy doses of powerful medication. I did receive considerable brain damage, and it took the best part of 7 years before a semblance of normal functioning was reached. I have often seen my life as worthless and wished to die. Yet on mature reflection, as I approach 40, I am glad that euthanasia did not exist. There is a certain dignity in struggling against obstacles and slowly but certainly overcoming them. I have a soul, and that soul is not strengthened by instant gratification and the avoidance of pain. It is made worthy by suffering born well and by living a difficult life with dignity. Lord, help us to see that whatever suffering we may go through, if we bear it well, we will grow, humanly speaking, through it. And secondly, suffering helps the person suffering to be more sympathetic when others suffer. If we haven't suffered ourselves, often we can be even critical of someone else who is suffering. And we tell them, oh, you're always complaining. It's not that bad. And we don't know what they are suffering. They do. But if we have suffered, we are far more empathetic, far more compassionate. And that very word, compassionate, means in its etymology, to suffer with. We suffer with the suffering because we have been through it ourselves. And we saw that so clearly in the later years of Pope John Paul II, who went through so much suffering in his childhood, and especially as Pope. And the way he spoke, he understood suffering and suffering people, because he had gone through it himself. And that is a blessing. We will bring more love, more sympathy, more compassion into this world if we have suffered ourselves. Third, suffering helps to make up for our sins. So important. We have all sinned. Every sin brings with it the need to do some temporal punishment, either on earth through suffering, good works, indulgences, or in purgatory. And Lord, if we asked you right now, if I were to die in this instant, is my soul purified of all my sins and ready for heaven, or might I have to go to purgatory? You know the answer, I don't. And sometimes in your love for me, for us, you give us suffering, you allow us to suffer so that we can shorten our time in purgatory and that suffering becomes purgatory on earth. If we die of a lingering and painful illness, it's a blessing because we know we're dying. We can settle our affairs, we can receive the sacraments, and the very suffering, if we bear it well, helps to make up for our sins. And in that sense, the suffering is truly redemptive. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, while patiently bearing sufferings and trials of all kinds, and when the day comes serenely facing death, the Christian must strive to accept this temporal punishment of sin as a grace. This suffering, a grace, because it makes up for our sins. Fourth, suffering unites us with Jesus Christ. Lord, we seek you. We want to be one with you, but we find you on the cross. And we can't have you without the cross. That is where you are. That is where you redeem us. And you invited us along that way. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Those crosses of two kinds, the ones that we seek through voluntary penance, let us take up those crosses daily, follow you, and the ones that you send us, the sickness, the headache, the misfortunes of one sort or another. Let us bear them well, because in doing that, we are taking up our cross that you have given us and being your disciple. And you are with us in that pain. Years ago, I was visiting a family in Canberra where the mother of six was dying of cancer. And she kept a diary, and in it she wrote one day. Her husband found the diary after she died and showed it to me, and I was so edified, I asked if I could copy some words, and amongst them these: "The pain in my chest is crushing me, as the pain crushed you, as you struggled to breathe while you hung on the cross. You are in my pain, I am in yours. We are one, my God and I." Lord, what faith of that very saintly woman to see in her crushing pain in her chest union with you, who had the same pain on the cross. And then, "You are in my pain, I am in yours, we are one, my God and I." And in this sense, the Kyrie of Ours, in his catechesis on suffering, also says, "We complain when we suffer. We have much more reason to complain when we do not suffer, since nothing so likens us to our Lord as the bearing of his cross." But this takes faith, and this takes love, to see union with you in the very crosses that life brings. And then fifth, suffering can be offered up for others. We are all praying, I am sure, for many people, from the Pope to the bishop, to the priests, the whole church, our children, relatives, friends going through difficult moments. We pray for them. Our prayer has great value. God hears our prayer and answers it. But when we offer our suffering, which costs us much more than a prayer, it has more value in beseeching our Lord to grant what we are asking. And what value there is in our suffering when we see it in this way and we offer it up. St. Paul writes to the Colossians, "I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." St. Paul offering and rejoicing in his sufferings for the sake of the church. What value when we offer our suffering for people who have greater needs. And then finally, suffering so benefits the carers of people who are suffering. What an opportunity they have to live out, Lord, your words. "I was sick and you visited me. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me." And those people who look after someone suffering, and we all do that, from time to time in our own families, in so many different ways. There are people around us who are suffering at our workplace, in our neighborhood, and we do something to help them. And Lord, what we do for them is done to you. And the reward for that you promised in that same passage in Matthew 25, "Come, you that have received a blessing from my Father, take possession of the kingdom which has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food, sick and you cared for me. Take possession of the kingdom that has been prepared for you because you helped someone who was suffering. What value in that? And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as if summarizing all of this, says, we firmly believe that God is master of the world and of its history. But the ways of his providence are often unknown to us. Only at the end, when our partial knowledge ceases, when we see God face to face, will we fully know the ways by which, even through the dramas of evil and sin, God has guided his creation to that definitive Sabbath rest for which he created heaven and earth. We will not understand this mystery of suffering until the end. I was preparing a talk on this topic for a seminar in Hobart, and while I was preparing it, a good woman who stopped by the university chaplaincy quite frequently dropped in, gave me an envelope with her customary stipend for a mass to be said, and in it a little card with a poem which was so relevant to that topic, and I used it in the talk. The poem is called The Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside of that beautiful tapestry. From up on top it looks beautiful, from underneath a tangle of knots and discordant colors. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. Then, when the shuttles cease to fly and we have died and we are face to face with you, will we see how important that suffering was. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. And Lord, you allow suffering because you know in your divine wisdom and power that out of evil you can bring good, and out of greater evils, greater goods, St. Jose Maria used to say. And reflecting on that, the greatest evil that has been known on earth is your death on Calvary, the killing of God. And it brought about the greatest good, redemption. Lord, help us to receive whatever sufferings come our way with love, with gratitude, and with your grace, with joy. St. Jose Maria, who knew suffering all his life, wrote in his intimate notes in 1932, Jesus, I feel such desires for making reparation. My role is to love and suffer. But love makes me rejoice in suffering to such an extent that it now seems impossible for me ever to suffer. I told you before that no one could make me upset, and I would even add that no one can make me suffer, because suffering brings me joy and peace. And people did make him suffer. They persecuted him. They slandered him in so many different ways. But suffering brings me joy and peace. Lord, help us to have the faith so that suffering can bring us joy and peace too. And Mary, our mother, sorrowful mother, who stood beside the cross, who suffered everything that Jesus was suffering. And I think it's St. Bernard in one of his homilies speaks about Mary as a martyr beside the cross. Mary, you knew suffering. You bore it well in union with Christ. Help us to live suffering as you did, as Jesus did, with great acceptance, with great love. Then it is truly redemptive. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.